Welcome back to House of Bravo, where we break down Bravo shows and personalities from a cosmic perspective. I'm Emma, an astrocartographer and human design reader. Each week, we'll uncover the underlying energies shaping the drama both on screen and off, from current astro weather and events to deep dives into Bravo Liberty's energetics. This is your one-stop shop podcast to get your Bravo fix while learning to decode the language of the stars.
Hi, friends. I don't know where all of you live, but let me tell you, over here on the East Coast, spring is springing, and I could not be happier to have some warm weather, some sunshine. Even the rain is appreciated because, number one, it's a warm rain. It's not snow. And it just means that the flowers are going to start blooming. Yay. I'm a spring baby, so I'm excited about that. All right. So this episode comes out Friday the 15th, which just so happens to be International Astrology Day, whatever that means. There's a day for everything, but today is the day to celebrate astrology. So I am happy you have all decided to join me here in the Cosmic Clubhouse. On the 19th of March, so Tuesday, the sun moves into Aries, which will officially kick off the new astrological year. The astrological year begins with Aries, that kicks off the zodiac signs. Then we have Taurus, Gemini, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. On the 18th, however, we have Mercury entering its shadow period before it goes retrograde on April 1st. So just know, starting on the 18th, which is Monday, things might start to get a little, all the things that come with Mercury retrograde. So double check any contracts you're going to sign before you sign them. Be mindful of the things you say. Watch out for your technology and, be more careful than usual when driving or operating a vehicle or a large piece of tech of any kind, really. There's been a lot going on with the news, but to be honest, I have not been present on the internet in the past week or so. I've just been enjoying my life. I am a 5-2 profile in my human design. The 2 is the energy of the hermit. So I come, I go. And it's funny because usually, I guess, if I'm hermiting from my real life, I'll be more online. My real life. It's all my real life. If I'm hermiting physically, maybe I'll be showing up more on the internet. But conversely, if I'm out and present in my day-to-day life, I'm going to be spending less time on the interwebs, paying attention to news or pop culture, drama, all of those things. So to be honest, I don't really know what's going on. I know the Kate Middleton is MIA, but the Royals have never been my thing. So if that's something that interests you, there are tons of astrologers talking about that. Just go Google it and I'm sure you'll find some fascinating information. While I may not have been present online or in the news, I have been present with our Bravo shows. I want to go ahead and start with Potomac, which was, just a classic Housewives episode. We got some fun. We got some shade. We got a makeup. Well, the beginnings of a reconciliation, hopefully, between Mia and Jacqueline. But the first thing that I actually want to look at is Karen and Giselle. Because Karen and Giselle have such a frenemyship going on between the two of them. And I really love it. I love how they can go deep. Like the stuff that Giselle did with Ray and his taxes. Like that was a low blow. but they can bounce back from it. And it's not this grudge that's being held. So I love that they kind of both understand what they're here to do, which is entertain us and then come back together, I guess, at the end of the day to keep doing so. What I think is interesting about their synastry between Giselle and Karen, and I do have Giselle's time of birth, but I don't have Karen. So I have Karen hyperimposed on Giselle, basically. And the first thing that I'm seeing is that Giselle's Uranus, disruption, erraticness, unforeseen things in Libra, the sign of balance, harmony, justice, friendships, in her eighth house of mergers and partnerships, as among other things, I feel like the eighth house rules so much, is in opposition to Karen's Venus and Jupiter in Aries. So I feel like this is kind of this push. I think this is like speaking to that frenemyship. First of all, the Aries Libra axis is this representation and this push and pull between the individual and the group, the other, the friends. It's such a relationship axis. And with Karen's Jupiter and Venus being in Aries, this is a very me, me, me energy. It's thinking about the self. It's putting the self first. It's very like, I'm the grand dame. And not only are those two placements in opposition to Giselle's Uranus, so this kind of back and forth of will they, won't they, are they going to be friends, are they not going to be friends today, like what can we expect from them in her eighth house of partnerships. So we have that opposition, but we also have those, that Venus, that Jupiter on Giselle's Chiron in Aries, this wound around independence, around standing your ground, staking your claim, speaking your truth, speaking up. So these things that Karen can do so easily, Giselle maybe has a struggle around internally. Not that she can't. Our Chiron is something that we heal within ourselves over time through growth, through evolution, through living life. And then we're able to help heal that in others as well. So it is interesting that Karen's Jupiter is there, because that can tend to maybe aggravate a Chiron. It can maybe kind of push it back into that regressed state of the Chiron. But also with Karen's Venus there, it could kind of help, as I said, I think, to embolden these aspects in Giselle. Venus representing values and love and all those things. So it is interesting that here we see Karen and Giselle coming together over Grace leaving and going off to college, which seemingly is kind of like bringing up things around that Chiron in Aries for Giselle, this fear of being on your own. And here Karen is to comfort her and to say, you know, she's still going to need you as your mother, and she'll tell you when she needs you. But more than that, it's like you can embrace this time in your life and enjoy this next phase. So I really liked that about the two of them. Where I think they maybe butt heads a lot is they both have a ton of Virgo energy, and they both have Scorpio energy as well. Virgo, well, first of all, when you have too much of the same energy as someone else, it can be way too much. You would think like, oh, they can relate on those things. And yes, on some level they can, but too much of something can also be too much. Like if we think about Jupiter, it's like expansion is great. But when you expand too much, you don't fit into your pants anymore. I just got a visual of Alice in Wonderland when she eats the mushroom or the cookie or whatever, and her head pops through the chimney and she's like literally outgrown the house. So yeah, there's a lot. I mean, they're not going to be best friends, that's for sure, but they do have a lot of areas that they can relate on. And I do love how Karen is kind of helping Giselle through this time again of empty nesting ship. There were a lot of actually dynamics going on, because we had this coming together, this support from Karen to Giselle, to a friendship gone awry, and it doesn't seem like it's going to be coming back. We've got Robin and Candace. What's interesting about this to me is Candace has a lot of mutable energy. We spoke about fixed energy before. It's stubborn, it's steadfast. Mutable energy is kind of the opposite. It's flexible, it goes with the flow, it's changes its mind when new information is brought to light. And Candace has so much mutable energy, but this is why it's so important to look at the chart as a whole and not just cherry pick elements from the chart to call out, because at the end of the day, Candace is a Scorpio rising with Venus conjunct Pluto on her ascendant. Scorpios are fixed energy. And how Candace views the world, her perspective on the world, is like our rising sign. It's how we present ourselves to the world, but also the lens at which we're viewing the world through. She is viewing the world through a very fixed lens of Scorpio at that. Scorpios hold on to grudges. So with Venus, her values, what's important to her, what she holds dear to her, what she sees as being the moral correctness, conjunct Pluto, strength, like kind of exponentially supporting that Venus, how she feels through the perspective and the lens that she's seeing life through. It doesn't even matter that Candace has all this mutable energy. That's how she's seeing this situation. Now, it doesn't mean that she can't change, because she does have a lot of mutable energy. But it's not going to be as easy for her to make that shift. It's not going to be as easy for her to make that shift. I mean, period. Candace does have her sun in Sagittarius, so that is a mutable placement, but it is conjunct Uranus. Again, it's going to be erratic. It's going to be erratic. It's going to be erratic. That's all I can say. I think between the two of them, we've seen that Robin has made the effort to try and move forward, which I think she might be over at this point for now. But it really is on Candace, and she's kind of the one holding this friendship back from moving forward, in my opinion. It also seems so stupid and petty, the whole thing. Like, you showed our messages. Now, I agree that, like, messages shouldn't be shared with someone. If you're messaging your friend, they shouldn't share that with a blogger of all people. But, like, it doesn't seem that deep at the same time. And what did those messages even say? When Robin was on Watch What Happens Live, she said that it was just showing that one of them had or hadn't left the other one on unread. I don't even know. It just seems so stupid and petty. All right, we're talking about mutable energy, and let's just like jump over to Miami, because there's a lot of mutable energy over there. And I said, I think in weeks past, that this cast seems to more easily get over their issues with each other and like genuinely can coexist in ways that other casts refuse to. So, for example, if we look at Marisol and Adriana, there was some deep shit and like difficult shit said between the two of them, mostly from Adriana to Marisol. But we still see Marisol calling Adriana, on her, like, the day of her performance to wish her good luck and all these things. Yeah, so, like, this cast in general, the Miami cast, has so many Sagittarius moons. So many Sagittarius moons. We have Julia, who could be Sagittarius moon or Capricorn. Garrity, Sagittarius moon. Kiki, Sagittarius moon. Dr. Nicole, Sagittarius moon. Marisol, Sagittarius moon. A lot of Sagittarius moons. Let's get it. Well, we also have Kiki, who's a Gemini sun. Dr. Nicole, who's not just a Sagittarius moon, but also a Sagittarius rising. And we've got some Virgo energy. So Lisa can either have a Virgo moon or a Libra moon. Dr. Nicole, Virgo sun. So among these people, there is a lot of mutable energy. We spoke about fixed energy. The fixed signs come in the middle of a season. It's when that season is kind of in full bloom. The mutable signs come at the end of the season. They're a transition before we jumpstart a new season in the Northern Hemisphere, specifically with cardinal energy, which we'll get into an upcoming episode, they kick off the new season. As with all the other modalities, there is one mutable sign per element. Fire mutable sign is Sagittarius, which this cast is full of. The earth mutable sign is Virgo. And when we think about Virgo, we might think, oh, it seems like a more fixed energy. Like, are Virgos changing? Are they easily changing from one thing to the next? Are they about transformation? And the reason that they give off that kind of more fixed vibe is because of the earth energy that they're carrying with them. But Virgo is ruled by the planet Mercury, and Mercury is constantly flitting from here to there. It also rules Gemini, which is the air mutable sign. The two signs that Mercury rules are both mutable. And then we have the water mutable sign of Pisces, which we are currently in. When we think about mutable energy, we think about flexibility, an open mind, a kind of go with the flow and expressive energy. They can also be potentially impulsive and then sometimes regretful, because something might have seemed like a good thing at the time, but then you get more information or you've experienced something and now you're like, well, maybe that wasn't such a good idea. They can seem or feel, if you have this energy, scattered or restless. And they can be flippant. So like they may say one thing one day and another thing the next. And this is because they're open to shifting their perspective, especially as they learn or experience something new, which I kind of just said. So, also, I didn't mention this before, but Alexia has a Pisces moon. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Out of the 9 cast members, 5 definitely have a mutable moon, which rules our emotions, allowing us to maybe get over things a little easier, move on a little easier. And we have 1, 2, 2 people who are also potentially mutable moons. Again, we don't know Julia or Lisa's actual moon sign. So yeah, I just really feel like this explains their ability to get back on the same page with each other despite all the nitpicking and pettiness, and I think that that is interesting. Also, we have, like, this was the final reunion episode of the season, which brings me to my MVP, most valuable player, and least valuable player of the season. I think my least valuable player will come at no surprise to anyone if you listen to this show from week to week. It would be none other than Larsa. She's just been thumbs down for me. The things that she said to Garrity, just the way that she is. I don't know that she seems fake to me, but there's just something about her that rubs me the wrong way. Maybe it's all that Cancer energy. I just feel this wall It's not that she's fake, but are we seeing the whole truth? I'm not convinced that we are. And I also just, was it Alexia that called her product placement Pippin? I loved that. So don't understand, why is every person coming out with an alcohol? I don't think Larsa Pippin tequila. Anyway, I digress. She's my least valuable player. My most valuable player is Kiki. Give her a mojito. Make her part of a full-time cast. We want to hear more of her story. We want to know about her children and her taking care of her mother. Just everything about her, like everything about her. She may not be a housewife, but that bitch is real. And you can tell, like, she's so open about her life and what she's been through. And it's not that we haven't seen Larsa go through things, but we don't get to, she doesn't really let us in. We're just seeing things on the surface. Even when, like, the whole Marcus and Michael Jordan thing, and I get not wanting to talk about your significant other's father, totally understand that. But to say that he's perfectly fine with you guys and all this stuff, it's like, well, no, he's not. Although that, yeah, that would be a difficult position to be in, to be her. So yeah, least valuable player, Larsa, most valuable player, Kiki. Excited to see what this mutable energy cast brings next season. It's always fun. It's always interesting. There's always drama, but not in a super heavy way generally. Miami, I feel like, has been consistently one of the great franchises. Maybe it's because they haven't been on as long as some others that have gotten the time to get tired, but Miami always brings the heat, as they say. Moving over to the other part three of a reunion, we've got Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We had Sutton having some kind of breakdown, which, you know, they said at the end she was recovering back at home, but they never said what actually happened. Did she have a panic attack? And why was she saying she was scared? At first, it sounded like she was scared of Kathy. Then it sounded like she's scared about her health. What was it? Like, oh, I want to know. Kathy seemed to think that she was scared of her. And we'll never know what Kathy was going to say to her. So, oh, well, that's sad. Okay, on to what everyone wants to hear, the Kyle and Mauricio split. What I thought was interesting was Kyle said, I'm evolving, I'm changing, I don't know what my future holds. First of all, I love this honesty. I know so many people are like up in arms about Kyle not showing enough about herself, and why is all this stuff going to be coming out on his show, and why isn't she saying it? And I don't really care about all that. At the end of the day, well, if he says stuff on his show, we could just watch it over there, you know? I don't know. Not a big deal. But as we've talked about before, Kyle is going through her nodal return in Aries. We spoke earlier about Giselle's Chiron in Aries. This nodal return in Aries is about Kyle coming into her own, about her stepping forward in her life, doing things for herself, doing things her way, learning to be independent from others. I love that she's fully embracing it, seemingly, despite how painful the changes that it requires will be and are. She really does seem to be accepting of this is what's next. And I think it's, as she said, it's been kind of a slow burn. There's been all this buildup over these years of her trust in him, her confidence in their relationship kind of chipping away, and then them growing apart as they become busier in their own lives. So I think she's kind of had time to adjust to these changes. But I feel like we've spoken about Kyle and we've spoken about Mauricio separately together. So what I really wanted to look at is Kyle and Morgan's synastry. Not in terms of, are they in a relationship? And let's speculate about that, because I don't really care what she's doing in her personal life. I did think it was interesting, though, how when she was talking about being in Morgan's music video, and she said she had never kissed anybody on film ever, man or woman, but she wanted to do this and just try it, or, you know, however she phrased it, it did make me think that maybe it is just a friendship. Just the way that she was presenting that seemed more friendship to me than otherwise. But there is a lot of hesitation, and she's not just like outwardly saying, no, I'm not in a relationship with her. There's like all these pauses and whatever. So I don't know, maybe it goes deeper. And that's not what I'm here for. But I did look at their charts and I saw some interesting things. Morgan and Kyle. Okay, so the first thing that my eye is drawn to, and I know Kyle's time of birth. Well, I think she has like a C rating, so it may not be exact, but it's what we're going to use. I don't know what time Morgan was born. But the first thing I see is that Kyle's Mars in Scorpio is conjunct Morgan's Venus in Scorpio. A Mars-Venus conjunction is so powerful and strong. It's the masculine, the feminine coming together, this yin and yang. And it is a very strong bond. And when we put it in Scorpio, which is a very sexual sign, Scorpio rules the genitals in medical astrology. Maybe it does speak to a sexual connection. It's not saying whether it's been acted on or not, but there is an attraction. There is a really deep bond among them, between them. And that Mars of Kyle's in Scorpio is also making a loose conjunction to Morgan's North Node. But what's more interesting to me about this is that it happens to fall. If we're looking at whole sign, this is falling in Kyle's, actually, even if it's not whole sign, it's falling in Kyle's fourth house of home, of family. So it's interesting that, you know, she has created such a strong bond with Morgan so quickly. And I think it's because Morgan in some ways feels like family to Kyle. Maybe it's romantic, maybe it's just a friendship, but there is a deep, strong bond between them. Now, that Venus of Morgan's is trining Kyle's Venus in Pisces. A trine, this easy flow of energy in these water signs of emotion and connection and intuition. It's saying that they just have this carefree, maybe not carefree, but a deep and meaningful bond. What's important to them, what they value. And yes, the way they love. That Venus of Kyle's in Pisces is conjunct Morgan's Saturn in Pisces. In Kyle's eighth house of mergers and partnerships. So that can speak to a commitment. But again, it could be a friendship. It could be more. But there is a bond, a connection, a tie between them. Now, I wish I knew where Morgan's moon was, because her moon can either be in Pisces, which would be interesting, but we'll talk about that a little later, or it can be in Aries. If we go back to Morgan's Venus, back in Scorpio, that's squaring. It's more of a challenging aspect, one you kind of have to push through in order to reach growth and evolution. Kyle's descendant. Our descendant represents the other. What we're looking for when we talk about the other. Again, I'm going to keep harping on this. This can mean friendship. This can mean more. It's just the other, someone that we choose to have a connection with. And Kyle's, we've spoken about this, but Kyle's Mercury is also conjunct her descendant. So there's a Venus descendant Mercury connection here between them. Maybe that Venus of Morgan's is helping Kyle to see that things don't have to be so straightforward. Things don't have to be the way the cookie cutter way that you've been shown that they should be, but kind of helping to open up Kyle's mind to loving in a different way, living in a different way, being friends with a different sort of person, or living a different lifestyle than she's allowed herself or put herself in this Beverly Hills box of being and living. The last thing I'll talk about is that Morgan's sun and Mercury are falling in Kyle's fifth house in Sagittarius. We see them traveling, having fun together. The fifth house is all about fun. It's parties. It's flings, sexual flings, which this doesn't seem like a fling. But we can see that she's kind of like helping to bring out a lighter side in Kyle, but also kind of a more spiritual side of Kyle. And we've seen them travel together. Sagittarius rules long distance travel. It also rules higher thinking, higher learning. Again, Morgan opening up Kyle to other perspectives, to other ways of living, to other ways of having fun, to sober ways of having fun. Yeah, I mean, whether they're lovers or just friends, there's definitely a deep, deep, deep connection between these two. And I'm just glad that Kyle is a friend that she feels so comfortable with. I mean, that's really important for her profile. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Kyle has a 2-4. Who she puts herself around is very important. Very important. And Morgan's clearly someone that she feels comfortable with. I can see why, looking at their natal charts together. I am really curious to see if Kyle will come back. I could see her not returning. I can definitely see her not returning. Oh, something that was kind of interesting. I said if Morgan has a Pisces moon, it would be interesting. What would be interesting about that is that Mauricio has a Pisces moon. So it would be interesting that Kyle is kind of replacing one Pisces moon in her life with another. Even if they're not romantically tied, that still is an interesting connection, in my opinion. Morgan and Mauricio also have opposing Mercuries, whereas Mauricio's Mercury is conjunct his sun in Sagittarius, maybe giving him this air of, I know everything, I'm really smart, I'm really intelligent. I have a set perspective on things. Sagittarius is mutable, so it can change, but a strong perspective on things. On the other hand, Morgan has her Mercury in Gemini, more open to learning, more curious, that childlike wonder of curiosity versus the I know or I think definitively. That can be like a similar and yet refreshing energy for Kyle. So I just thought that that was an interesting little thing between them. Another show we have wrapping up was The Traitors. I know I'm a little late on this because it did come out on Thursday, which was the same day that I record these episodes. What an ending. I don't know that anyone was expecting that. Certainly MJ wasn't. And I totally agree. I watched the reunion, which I didn't even think I was going to watch the reunion, but I did. And it's definitely a cultural difference between the gamers and the Bravo celebrities. This move by CT and Trishel, if you watch The Challenge, which I don't watch Survivor, I don't watch Big Brother, I don't even know how those shows work, but if you watch The Challenge, you know this is a classic challenge move, which in fact Bananas pulled with Sarah Race on The Challenge season 28. And Sarah had been on 6 or 8 seasons of The Challenge. She did not come back after the money was snatched out of her hands in the finale. Her and MJ had a similar hurt reaction, and totally can understand MJ being hurt. She is holding on to it quite strongly. That bitterness is real. MJ has Sun, Mercury, Mars in Leo. Leo is like about your people. It's very much a sign about your people. I've said the word pride a lot, which we often think of as family, but it's really your group, your community, your close network. So like MJ just can't imagine that this group of people, CT and Trishel, who they all did kind of know that she wasn't a traitor, she can't fathom why or how they could have done that to her, because it's just not a move that she herself would have made. She also has, her moon could be Virgo or Libra. If it's in Virgo, it's a very mothering energy, a very like I'm of service to others energy, also a placement that wouldn't be taking someone's money away from them. And if it's in Libra, it's just like trying to balance things, make people happy, make people harmonious, like another sign that would not think to take money from people that you know are not a traitor, basically. So I can see where MJ's bitterness is coming from, but as someone said, like it's in the subline of the traitors. Well, first of all, it's called the traitors, but this show is about betrayal. It was a fitting ending, in my opinion. Finally, we move over to Summer House. And here's the thing about Summer House. I need to know the dates of these confessionals, because was Lindsay interviewed soon after this incident where she was saying that Carl wasn't sober? Or were those interviews done post-breakup? I need dates. Starting from now on, I want all confessionals to be dated. On Watch What Happens Live, she's really, well, like, Lindsay's a PR person. That's like her bread and butter is public relations. She knows how to cover her tracks, and she does it very well. However, it doesn't excuse or erase erratic and dirty behavior. And you can't just say whatever when you're drunk and activated and then PR your way out of it after the fact. Like, I think we all see through this, Lindsay. But it's so clear from just what we've had 3 or 4 episodes of this season. It's so clear that Lindsay and Carl should not be married. So it's great that they called it off. I'm even trying to remember, were they ever a good couple? They just are in all of these scenes. It's so awkward. It's so awkward. And I do remember when they first got together and they had like a Marshalls commercial or a TJ Maxx commercial or something, and everyone was saying, oh, their relationship is just PR for them to get a bunch of money. Like, was it? There was no chemistry between these two. Yeah, good thing it was called off. It does sound a little dirty how it was done. Like, they had already done filming and then Carl told the camera crew to come back just to film it. But it's very clear they shouldn't have been married. So great call. Great call overall. Man, that went by quickly. I don't really have any astro observations on Summer House from this week, but I think overall, this was a good week of watching. We had some good episodes with Potomac was pleasurable. The reunions, I'm just glad that they're wrapped up. I don't really think that most seasons need a 3-part reunion. That should be an exception, not a rule, in my opinion. The traitors, I'm excited to see who's coming in next season. I did not like season 1. I think it's because there were, I hate to use this word, but nobodies. Even the people on like Big Brother or The Bachelor or Survivor that I don't know, at least they have some experience being in a setting similar-ish to this. Like, they've been on TV. They know about politicking in their own ways. Even the housewives politic in their own ways. So I do like traitors now that it is all television personalities. And Summer House, we're just rolling along. We're summering as I get ready for summer to arrive here in the Northern Hemisphere. But that's all I have for this week. Make sure to rate and review the podcast, subscribe, and for more Bravo Astrology content, follow along on Instagram at the Cosmic Clubhouse. Happy Aries season, and I will see you next week. Bye.